We begin a new series of messages, but I need to tell you that they're really going to be bouncing off of last week's message, and they're probably going to be going on for at least a few months. I want to let you know that. I think it's a good series of messages, and I also have to tell you that in putting this together, it was a very emotional time for me, even as I was writing, and I'm not, as many people would think, an emotional guy. My wife calls me a cold Englishman, and I kind of sometimes hope that I could be more cold, because this past service, just a couple hours ago, I was a mess up here. And I want to let you know that as we deal with a very sensitive, powerful issue in our lives, it can evoke an awful lot of emotion. And I want to give you a little heads up ahead of time. I'm not one that appreciates that. I don't want to manipulate you in any way. That's not what this is about. But I might be overcome every once in a while. Is that okay? Is that okay by everybody? If not, you need to walk out now, because I can almost promise you. I appreciate your vulnerability last week, but I get it. As I was asking the Lord where I should go, I recognized that the message that I'm preaching today, I've never preached on it. I've preached for almost 31 years in this church, and I calculated about 4,000 messages. And in all those messages, I've never talked about this topic, and I wonder why. But I realized as it was developing how absolutely critical it is for you and I to understand what I'm about to share with you. So I'm going to ask for your full attention throughout the service. And we're going to be here just a brief time together. So I'm going to ask that you put any other distractions to the side. A few weeks ago, I was here later in the evening, and a van pulled up with some deliveries, and it wasn't a normal van, but he was a delivery guy, independent delivery guy for some office supplies. And so I happened to be here, and it must have been his last run of the day. And he was from the islands. He had a heavy, not Long Island, the real islands. And he was from the islands, and he had a heavy accent. And as we were getting the packages into the office, and he was about to get into his truck, he stopped. He kind of stepped out of his truck, and he said, "Pastor, can I ask you a question? Are you preparing your people for the coming of the Messiah?" And I said, "Let's talk a little bit." So we talked for nearly an hour. It must have been his last run, because he wasn't in a hurry to leave. And we were enjoying each other's company. We were enjoying just that passion to prepare people. Last week, we talked about being prepared for the next storm that's on the horizon. And we took from that passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that be prepared passage, and talked about how we always need to be prepared and to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. And we talked about knowing what you believe. Do you remember that? And we're going to go down the path a little bit later on. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the heart over the next month or so. But I talked about knowing why you believe and what you believe. And if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, and you haven't set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, then you are going to be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunningness of man. I threw that out to you from that Ephesians 4 passage. And in fact, as I looked at that passage again this week, I was reminded of my job for you guys. Would you take your Bibles and hold them up in the air if you brought them with you? If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible in front, or you can follow on the screen. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, my duty to you as a pastor is evidently clear here. Verse 11 starts this way, and speaking of Jesus. "It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So if you look at this passage, it is my responsibility, if you will. By the way, I am a gift from God to you. You can say amen. That has nothing to do with boasting. I'm a gift from God to you because Paul says that. It is he, that is Jesus, who gave some to be pastors to prepare God's people for works of service. And I recognize once again, my job is not to do a lot of the things that I actually do in my job, but my number one priority, and my, believe it or not, it's not evangelism. You might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, you got to share the gospel. Yes, I have to share the gospel so that people can call in the name of the one they hadn't heard before and now that they know about and be saved. I got that. But my number one job, my calling to you is not evangelism, but discipleship. And that is equipping you for works of service, equipping you so that you might become united, equipping you that you might know and come to the full knowledge of God. That's my job, to prepare you. And I hope you recognize that. And I hope you're being prepared. My job is not just to prepare you for the storms of life, like we talked about last time, but to prepare you for life and to prepare you for the afterlife. And to prepare you for the present storms in your life and your present life and the day-to-day growing in your life. And I want to do this job well. For God's glory. I really do. I want to be able to prepare you so that at the end of the day, that wonderful expression, at the end of the week or the month or the year or your life, anytime during that, if I were to ask you, are you ready? You could say with confidence, with surety, I'm ready. That's what I want to do. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about setting apart Christ as Lord in your heart. We're going to talk about knowing what you believe. That's going to get intense. And we're going to talk about why you believe what you believe. Are you with me, church? Yes. We're going to bounce springboard off of last week's message, but we're going to start a whole new series called Are We Ready? We're going to go right into it. We're going to use as our main passage, and you will have this memorized before this series is over, because we're going to say it over and over and over again. Our main foundational passage is going to be 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. Let's go to prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us in such a way that you sent your Son Jesus into the world to put sight into the eyes of the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord, to bind up the brokenhearted. Father, we thank you that you love us in such a way that your eye is always upon us and you never leave us or forsake us. Father, right now I recognize that in an audience like this, there may be many who have already shut down, have already put up barriers, have already put up some resistance because of what's going on in their heart right now. So Lord, I pray that you would work a miracle by your Spirit, that you would release us from that. Lord, that you would speak to us through your servant, your Spirit, and your Word, that we would know what you would have for us. Lord, that you would protect us from having any distraction or any barriers, otherwise take away from what you have for us. And Lord, would you work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears so that they would hear from you today. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Peter writes, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." As we saw last time, the starting point to being prepared is to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. And he's speaking hearts plural because he's speaking to an audience that is plural. The first thing we have to do before we do anything else is to set apart Christ as Lord in our heart. It starts with the heart. If we do not set Christ apart, no matter what we do, even if we have good doctrine, even if we've gone to the best seminary, even if we're a professor at a seminary, even if we know what we believe and why we believe it, if we haven't set Christ as Lord in our hearts, then everything in our life is not going to just crumble as if we have built our house upon the sand, but everything's going to be a mess. Are you with me, church? Say amen. Now, Jesus says something like this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Some of you know the verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. You know that he's talking about everything else in your life, what you eat, what you drink, what you put on, because that's the context. Everything you worry and are anxious about will all fit into its proper place. It may not fit into your agenda, but it'll fit into its proper place when you seek first the kingdom of God. And if not, if we're not setting apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, then I like the illustration, I know I use it a million times, but of that train, and maybe it's better to use a model train because I don't know if the real trains would ever be able to do this, but you take that train locomotive and you take that those first two wheels and you just set the first two wheels off the track, but the rest of the wheels are on the track all the way down, all the cars and the caboose, and they're all on track, but those front wheels are a mess. And you can go, because the locomotive got a lot of power, you can go down that track and it's going to squeal all the way down. You're going to get somewhere, but it's not going to be the way it ought to have been. Are you following me? Unless you get the first things right, and it all starts in the heart. Now, if it is my calling, if Christ gave to you a pastor to prepare you, and part of that preparation is to set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, then I have to ask the question, why are there Christians, many, many, many of us, who still have a hard time with setting apart Christ as Lord in our heart? What are the inhibitors to that? If this is where our starting point is, this is where we get the front wheels on the track, if this is where we're going to go forward with, then why aren't we doing it? If there's something that's blocking us, what is it? And as a pastor, I need to find that out. Is there something that is inhibiting it? I thought to myself about this, and like a wave, it smacked me in the brain. I thought, okay, if we're supposed to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, I think the greatest inhibitor is our hearts. And what about the broken-hearted? What about the people that are in our fellowship, the people that are so broken-hearted and so crushed in spirit, as the scripture says, that they can't set anything as Lord in their heart because they are so crumbling inside. It's so weakened. Now, there might be some callous people say, well, this is where you just got to do it and trust God. You just got to push forward and just make Jesus the Lord of your heart. I said, wow, what about a person who has a broken leg? Is that the time when we say, well, that's the time you just got to run the fastest? No, you got to fix the broken leg. And you say, well, Pastor, this kind of sounds a little bit for the kind of wussies out there that had a little broken heart. You just got to forward. Now, listen. The powerful thing I found out this past week is how much God addresses the brokenhearted individual. And that's why God sent Jesus. You may not have ever seen it before, and I really hadn't seen it before as well. Some of you are so crushed in spirit, so broken in your heart. And by the way, you have no idea how many times I pick up my phone and the message from an individual or individuals in this fellowship, there's no words, there's just one emoji, and it's a broken heart. That's all I get on my phone, is a broken heart from an individual or this individual or that one. And I call them and I say, what's happened? You know, I lost it last service. My emotion was overwhelming. And I talked to one of the elders afterwards about it, and I said, you know what? As a pastor who loves this congregation so much, I own the sorrows. When you guys go through your heartache, I want to be a fixer. I want to help you as best I can, and I get involved in that in my heart. And before you know it, I'm feeling that pain so much, and it's overwhelming. It's one of the reasons why pastors leave ministry at an alarming rate of 1,500 pastors per month in this country, because they're overwhelmed. And if they're a pastor who cares about their flock, it can get emotional. But what about the brokenhearted, the one who says, I can't trust anyone anymore. And I can't love anymore. And I just don't care anymore. What about the brokenhearted Christian who is supposed to make Christ the Lord of their heart? What do we do? Because I believe that that heart has to be healed before it can effectively do that. Are you with me, church? You may not agree 100% with everything I'm saying, but I'm going to ask you to listen all the way through because I think you'll be locked in. One of the reasons why Jesus came and one of the reasons why Jesus was beaten was because of this. You don't think Jesus knows of your broken heart? Peter writes this book. 1 Peter, is, by the way, remember as you're reading it, there's no chapters and no verses as Peter's writing out this one long letter. He doesn't break it up. We do that later on. But Peter writes this book to a bunch of people who are scattered throughout the land. If you not the land of Israel, all over the region, all over into other countries. They're called the diaspora, the dispersed ones. And if you look at the very first verses of the first chapter, you see that audience. And these people are running around to these other countries. They've had to leave their homes and their parents and all of their family and all of their jobs. They had to skedaddle, as it were, and they had to get out of there because of the church being persecuted by the religious leaders, Stephen being stoned, and James being run through with the sword under Herod's reign, and then the Roman oppression with Nero and Diocletian. So they're running, and they don't know what's coming down the pike. They don't know where they're going to go. They don't know where their next meal is. And he says, listen, you people that are on the run, who are worried, who are anxious, you need to, first of all things, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. And then later on in the letter, he recognizes all that, and he says, listen, I know you're worried, and I know your cares, and I know your pain and your anxiety. And he says, cast it all on him. Chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, Peter's dealing with a whole audience that is brokenhearted. He says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And I know your heart is broken, but you still need to set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Jesus said he knows when the sparrow falls. Do you believe that? There's a lot of birds out there. He knows when this. You know what else he knows? He knows every tick that lands on this pastor. I was on a fishing trip. I came back from the fishing trip. I went up to a place called Hickory Run. Went along a path. Was on that path for just a minute or two. Came back and I had 6 or 7 ticks on me. I'm a tick magnet. Thank you. I know a lot of you guys want to be tick magnets, but I'm a tick magnet, right? And Jesus knows every tick. As one person said, it just went from one forest to another, Pastor. And just if you know my hairy body. But anyway, Jesus knows every tick. He knows every bird that falls. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he feeds the birds. He feeds the birds and he cares about them, and you're of much more value than the birds. Jesus knows. And the truth is that it was one of the reasons why Jesus came and why he bled and died for us. The truth is, I got to tell you that because of the sin of man in the garden, because of the world and the flesh and the devil, every person in this room has been brokenhearted. You may be too macho to say that you've been brokenhearted, but we're going to see in Scripture that it's epidemic, and it has been since the beginning. Are you with me so far? I believe that Jesus came and died upon the cross because of that. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 4? In Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened to him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." If you go back to verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me." God the Father has sent me. Jesus says it's been fulfilled in their hearing. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed." By the way, that Greek phrase, and I don't know why it's interpreted this way in English, means to heal the ones who are broken to pieces. That's the Greek word, broken to pieces. And if you will, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61. Please go back there if you will. Isaiah 61. And he says, "It's been fulfilled in your presence. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And it goes on and on. You need to understand something. Jesus says, "This has been fulfilled. I have come to you, Israelites, to bind up your broken hearts." Isaiah preached it all the way back years before this, centuries before this. He said that the Father sent the Son, if you will, to bind up the brokenhearted, the people whose hearts have been broken to pieces. Here's the point. It's epidemic. In Isaiah's day, the reason God sent Jesus was not just to give the good news to the poor, but to heal your broken heart. And Jesus says to the people in Israel the same thing, and I'm telling you the same thing. We cannot run if our leg is broken, and we cannot make Jesus Lord of our life if our heart is so crushed, but we can go to the one who can heal our broken heart. Are you with me? The Father sent the Son. How universal is this pain? In fact, Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53, it's the reason why Jesus was beaten to a bloody pulp before he hung on the cross. I say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Surely he has taken up our pain and he has carried our suffering, or he has carried our sorrows is another way of saying it. And by his stripes we are healed. Jesus carried our sorrows. He took up our brokenheartedness. That's one of the reasons why he was beaten, so that our broken hearts could be healed. In order to fully, if we're going to start here, get those wheels on the track, in order to fully have Jesus set apart as Lord in our hearts, we have to have our hearts healed. How is it done? How is it done? I don't know how it's done. I don't know how God does it, but he does it. But here's a suggestion. My thought is that when your heart is so broken by whatever's happened, maybe it's stuff in your past. I dealt with a woman this past week in my office who's had such a hard time with the church. She hasn't been in church in a long time, has a hard time with the church. And as we talked for nearly an hour and a half. As we talked, it was revealed how broken her heart is from stuff that's happened in her youth. And she's still not there. She can't set apart Christ as Lord in her life because of what's happened when she was young. Or what's happened just recently, or what's happened in your life just now, or what you propose, and what's going to happen down the line you've already heard about, and your heart is broken. How can you set apart Christ as Lord when you've been broken to pieces? And yet Jesus says, "This is why I came. This is why I was beaten, to take up your sorrows." So may I suggest this to you. If you're thinking that God is far away from your groaning, like David writes in the Psalms, if you think that he's not caring, that he doesn't really pay attention to your sorrows and your broken heart, listen, this is what Psalm 34 says. In verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Lock that one into your brain. The Lord is near. Why does he say that? It's not just a phrase. It's a phrase that's, it's a verse that is said because of the thoughts that are going on in people's minds. When we are brokenhearted, we think God is very far away. And he says, no, just the opposite is true. When you're brokenhearted, God is closer than you can possibly imagine. He is near to the brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in spirit. Are you with me, church? First of all, you have to recognize that. Psalm 147 says, "The Lord heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds." I get the brokenheartedness of the men and women in this church, but God gets it a lot more than I do. So here it is. It's not the formula, but I think it's an idea. It's a suggestion. You're brokenhearted. You're here in church and you're wondering if God is ever going to draw close to you again. Here's my thought. There's a point that you have to get to, because I think when we're hurt, we put up all kinds of walls and we put up all kinds of defenses, and we resist the one who is in total control, who has indeed caused our storms. We resist him. There's a point where we simply have to get to where we say, I surrender. That's not cliche. I'm not trying to be cliche. Not I give up, because I give up has that connotation of despair and of failure, but I surrender. I mean, I'm not going to fight you anymore, Lord. I'm not going to talk back to you anymore. I'm not going to resist you anymore in trying to heal my heart. Sometimes my son and I get into it. My son had some issues growing up with speech, and so we took him to speech school for 2 years. And now we can't shut him up. And I mean that. And I'll say, Austin, just stop talking right now. But Dad, I just need to stop talking. But Dad, no, I really have to say, stop talking. Because he's just making things worse. You know how we are, right? I think that's the way we are with God. We just continue to resist. There's got to be a point where we just surrender and say, Lord, have your way. Jesus said it this way. Listen carefully in Matthew chapter 11. I think you know it. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you more of a burden. Amen? Jesus recognizes your broken heart. And he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, I know you're brokenhearted, but just give up. No, not give up, just surrender. Come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're not ready yet to set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. But are you ready to say, I surrender? I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of being brokenhearted. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not cared for by my Heavenly Father. I surrender, Lord. Give me rest from my broken heart. Heal it. You promised that you would bind up the brokenhearted. I think once we're there, church, then we can really set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. Amen? We're going to talk about hardened hearts, stubborn hearts, other hearts down the road. But we had to start with the broken heart today. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you love us in such a way that you know when the sparrow falls and you know when we are hurting, when we're anxious, when we're filled with care. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who sent your Son Jesus into the world to undo what Satan did. When sin entered into the world, all hearts were broken. And you came with your sending your Son to bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love for us. Right now, Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray for all the hurts that are represented here. All the resistance to yielding to your lordship because you ultimately are in control and we feel like you've abandoned us and that you don't care. And then we're reminded that one of the things that Jesus came for was to bind us where we're wounded. So would you start that work of healing in this fellowship? That we as a church body can set apart Christ as Lord. I pray we're ready for that. That we're ready to surrender. And now, Father, if there's anything in my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.